Have you ever known anyone you thought was truly gifted? Like you just went, wow, that person is just really gifted. I mean, think about Billy Graham and the many lives that he led to the Lord. I think we would all say he was gifted. He was gifted. Or then there's Mother Teresa and the amazing work she's done in Calcutta, or did in Calcutta, and other places. And we'd agree that she's gifted too. Some of you would know who Frank Julich is. He started a boys' school in India years ago, just with a few boys that didn't have any homes. And today, he has hundreds of boys in the school. And in fact, they've started a girls' school at a different location now. He's poured into the lives of many young boys, teaching them. And we would say he's gifted. Now, John Bergen didn't know I was going to say this, but John and Eloise, they've been pastors and missionaries for years, touched many lives for the Lord, and they still are involved in work in Africa, putting irrigation systems in to help the people plant their crops and produce food year-round. And it's still touching lives for the Lord. We would say our brother is gifted. And I know he doesn't want any glory for what he does. But we would say he's gifted. The list could go on and on of those who we would say are gifted. In Acts chapter 6 and 7, we read about a man named Stephen, who was a Grecian Jew. Now, a Grecian Jew was a Jew who had gone and lived in the Greek world. And Stephen had actually lived in the Greek world and then moved back to Jerusalem. But the Grecian Jews, they were like second-class Jews to the other Jews. I mean, they're not real Jews. They're mixed in with the Greeks. They're second class. Yet Luke wrote in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people." Doesn't sound like somebody second class to me. Stephen ministered with others. And we are told in Acts 6 and 7 that the number of believers greatly increased. People were being touched through the good news, through the work that Stephen and these other men and apostles were doing. Stephen would be added to those we would say were gifted. Yet all these people that I've mentioned and others are not gifted because they've taken years to hone and polish their talents or because they're intellectually wise. That's not why they're gifted. Their gifts are spiritual gifts. These gifts did not come from man, but from the Holy Spirit. Did you notice in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. Not full of man's grace and power, but God's grace and power. And if you keep reading on in Acts and you get to Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, you would notice that Stephen, it says Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. It was through the Holy Spirit that Stephen was able to do great wonders and miraculous signs. There were those who opposed Stephen and confronted him. And did he refute them with elegant words and polished words? And no. Listen to Acts chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. Stephen was empowered by the Holy Spirit. The words he spoke were not words of men. They were words that came to him as the Holy Spirit led him. They couldn't refute Stephen because they couldn't refute the gifting of the Holy Spirit in him. Paul writes about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he talks about gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous signs, miraculous powers, prophecy, discerning spirits, speaking in and interpreting tongues. And after he lists these gifts, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. All these gifts come from the Holy Spirit, and he gives them out as he determines. Billy Graham and Mother Teresa and others who are so gifted, they got those gifts from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives people their gifts as he determines. And the list I read are only some of the gifts the Holy Spirit has to offer each of us. As we find another list in Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 and 8, and it talks about serving and giving and encouraging and teaching and mercy, among other things, other gifts. James writes that every good gift comes from the Heavenly Father. And if we believe that in the Trinity, if we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all God, then every good gift comes from above, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. A question might be, are these gifts for the elite? You know, those who we wrongly characterize as super spiritual. When Peter is writing about spiritual gifts, he states in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. We need to understand here that Peter is writing in verse 1. It says he's writing to the elect. In other words, he's writing to all the church, to the Christians. And he's writing to us today. And he's saying that these gifts are for us. He writes, each one should use whatever gift we have. He doesn't say, no, if you have a gift, you should use it. He says, each one, doesn't leave out any of us. Each one should use whatever gift we have. In other words, Peter is saying, we all have a gift, at least one. Whether we have the gift of serving, giving, faith, wisdom, healing, teaching, hospitality, mercy, whatever gift we have, we're urged to use it. It's not for us to keep to ourselves. The gift is something we have received from the Holy Spirit as He has given it to us as He sees fit. The gifts of the Spirit are for each one of us. We've all received a gift. We are all gifted. Everyone is gifted by the Holy Spirit. But the gifts are not to make us look good. They're not so we can stick out our chest and say, "Oh, did you see what I did? You know, did you see how I can sing?" And you'd all go, "You can't sing, Scott." But they're not for us. But they're for the kingdom. The Holy Spirit has given them to us to use to serve others. Let's look back again at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." It's to serve others, to glorify God in a way. It is in a way which we are used to pour out God's grace to those around us. Administering God's grace to those around us. Why? So God can get the glory. We're to use our gifts as a church together. After World War II, the comedian Jimmy Durante, many of you will know who he is, was asked to perform a benefit performance for veterans. And he said, "Well, I'm really busy and I have another appointment, but I'll do a short monologue, a very short monologue." And they said, "Well, that would be great if you could just even do that." He said, "Well, I'll do it, but I have to leave right away, right after I come off the stage. I'm going to go right away to the next appointment." So Jimmy got up on the stage and he did his short monologue and he stayed on the stage and he kept going and he kept going and he kept going. And all of a sudden 30 minutes had gone by and Jimmy was still on the stage. Finally, Jimmy came off the stage and someone asked him what happened. And Jimmy said, "I did have to go, but I can show you the reason I stayed. You can see it for yourself if you look in the front row. There were two men, two war vets, sitting in the very front row. They were having the time of their life. They were laughing and they were crying. One had lost his right arm and one had lost his left arm. And together, they were clapping. They were clapping. And that's what they were doing. As the men used what they had, together they blessed Jimmy Durante. They blessed him." Can you imagine what the church could do if we worked together using the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has imparted in us? If we used them for the kingdom of God, if each one of us used the gifts that God gave us, whether it was singing or serving or whatever the gift was, can you imagine? We would bless God with those gifts. We would bless one another with those gifts. And we would bless others outside the church. So what holds us back from using our gifts for the kingdom? Well, the truth is it could be a number of things, such as fear, insecurity, or wondering what others would think. We might think our gifts aren't very important. That's the biggest trick of the enemy. You've just got a small little gift. It's not really important. It's not even worth using in the church or for the kingdom of God. That's what Satan would tell you. But do you know, the small gifts all go together. I was going to say you can take all your pennies and if you keep collecting them, they all add up to something, but we don't have pennies anymore. There'll be a day when nobody knows what pennies are. May we remember they are not our gifts. They are the gifts the Holy Spirit has given to us. They are God's gifts to us. They're His gifts. He's the one who has made us gifted. Do you think what He's given us is not important? Is just small? Insignificant? Not at all. So, what excuse do we have? Someone wrote, Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had an affair, killed somebody, and had all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas doubted. Paul had poor health. And Timothy? Well, he was just timid. And God used all those people. They're just ordinary people. But they were all gifted by the Holy Spirit. All gifted. What makes us think He will not use us and the gifts the Holy Spirit has gifted us with? We are gifted. We just need to surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow His gifts to flow in us and through us. They're not just to flow in us. There has to be an outflow. What happens to a lake if there's no outflow, besides the fact it overflows? If there's no outflow, if it just sits there, it becomes stagnant and useless. As we read in Acts chapter 6, we notice the church was having some management problems. They needed additional help, and they chose seven men, of which Stephen was one. The leadership didn't look for those who were super qualified people. They chose seven men who were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what they were looking for. Stephen was asked to serve food, wait upon tables. You know, and not just to wait upon tables, they probably expected him to clean up afterwards and take the garbage out. We don't hear Stephen going, hold it, I'm full of the Holy Spirit and I'm really gifted at this. That's somebody else. Do you know, we got some amazing people in this church. Well, you're all amazing. But some people have stepped up with their giftings lately, and there's LeClaire and a number of other people, Dan Dale, thank you. Dan and Dale and Ann, they come and they've been coming and cleaning the church every week. It's amazing. And then we got Pat and Jim and Mike and Lana who have been taking care of the outside of the church. Your giftings are obviously serving. They don't go, hold it, Mike's an electrician. He didn't say, cutting lawns, that's not electrical work. That doesn't fit into my gifting. No. These folks have all said, we'll do it. So Stephen said, yeah, I'll step up. And he used the gifts that he had received. In a sense, he was willing to give it a shot. Wayne Gretzky said, and most of you know this, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. Stephen took one shot, and was used of God mightily. John Maxwell, who is a writer and a speaker, tells a story of when he went to watch his nephew, Eric, play his first Little League baseball game. Eric was more than a little intimidated, wearing an oversized jersey. The helmet was pulled down over his ears. He could hardly hold the bat. He was scared because the biggest kid on the other team, his name was Butch, and he was on the pitcher's mound. And he was chewing a big wad of gum, and he even was able to start the growth of a mustache. Eric was pretty nervous as he stepped up to the plate. He hugged the bat, closed his eyes, and prayed. That's what John said. The ball floated by three times, and on the third time, the umpire said, strike three, you're out. And Eric, John says, his nephew walked back with a look of relief on his face. In fact, he said he looked like he was praying. Oh, dear God, thank you. I'm still alive. I remember those days in baseball. Eric walked back to the dugout to a chorus of jeers. His uncle, John, decided that this was the moment for a heart-to-heart talk. He called Eric over and said, forget what the coach has told you about baseball. Uncle John's going to tell you how baseball really should be played. You see, baseball is a very simple game. You only have to do one thing. Next time you go up to bat and Butch throws the ball, you just have to swing the bat. That's all you have to do. Butch throws the ball, you swing the bat. Eric looked at his uncle and said, you mean I don't have to be worried about hitting the ball? That's right, Eric, you don't. A smile lit up on Eric's face. Uncle John, I can do that. So the next time it was time for Eric to come up to bat, he got up to bat. And the first pitch came and he swung the bat. But his timing was off a little bit. Well, it was off so much that the ball was in the catcher's glove before Eric swung the bat. And the umpire decided that he wouldn't even call it a strike because it was so late. And then at that time, his Uncle John stood up and he said, yelled from the stands, beautiful swing, Eric, beautiful swing. The next two pitches came by, or the next three pitches came by, and he swung at them all, and he missed them. But you know, Uncle John was still on his feet yelling, Eric McCullough, that's the finest strikeout I've ever seen in my life. I love the way you strike out. Way to go, Eric. The third time up for Eric. Butch threw the ball, and Eric swung the bat, and the ball hit the bat and then dribbled a few feet into the infield. John Maxwell was out of the stands, and he was running down first base, and he said, come on, Eric, run. And Eric ran down to first base, and he rounded first base, and John cut across the field to third base. He said, come on, Eric, come on, Eric, come on, you can do it, keep running. And Eric came down, and he ran, and he ran, and he rounded third base. And John Maxwell said, together we've both slid at home safe. Wow, what a story. This is a true true story. 10 years later, Eric graduated from high school, and he went to visit his Uncle John. Eric asked his uncle if he remembered the first Little League baseball game when he told him if he didn't swing the bat, he would never get a hit. Eric told his uncle that he had never forgotten what he had taught him that day, and that in the fall, he was going to college on a baseball scholarship. Eric said, "Uncle John, thanks for teaching me to swing the bat." Eric had all he needed to hit the ball. He had the bat. That's all he needed. But if he didn't swing the bat, he would never hit the ball. The Holy Spirit has given us the gifts to do what he's called us to do. It might be serving, it might be faith, prophecy, hospitality, giving, teaching, encouraging. Whatever that gift is, he has given the gift to each one of us. But if we don't use the gifts he's given us, we will never hit the potential that God has for us. The gifts will just sit there like a stagnant pond and never get used. Oh, we might swing and we might miss from time to time. We might step up to do something and we might fall flat on our face. But you know, God will be going, "What a great swing. What a beautiful swing." He knows as we continue to use the gifts we have been given, he will be glorified and others will be blessed. We are all gifted. Each and every one of us is gifted. May we not keep the gifts to ourselves, but use them for the kingdom of God. Use them to glorify God and to bless those around us. May the gifts flow in us and through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that the gifts come from you. The Holy Spirit imparts those gifts to each one of us. Every one of us is gifted, and you don't give us junk. You give us gifts for the furtherance of your kingdom so we can fulfill the potential you have called us, so others might see the kingdom of God, so others might know the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the greatness of the Almighty God, the love and grace and mercy that's there of our God. Thank you, Father, for the gifts. May we take a swing. May we take a shot and keep doing so until we reach the potential you've called us to, that day we are called home. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.